Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
If you went to bed before 1:30, 1:15 Eastern Time, or 12:15 Central Time, if you're an early to bed peep anywhere in the country, well, then you missed the breaking news that happened just before we went on the air. And even as you hear the Jimmy Garoppolo story kind of opening up our hour, and we know that Jimmy G, after the seven starts with the Pats and with the Niners, has earned himself a fat contract, a contract that makes him a face of a franchise and that indicates the Niners have complete confidence in this guy. He's going to earn $27.5 million per year. I cannot help but wonder what that means for the Denver Broncos, who intend to sign Case Keenum when free agency opens on Wednesday. Boom! Major piece of the quarterback free agent puzzle has dropped into place. Again, we found out just before our show started. Who says all the cool stuff happens at some other time during? Who says that this is not prime time? So not only did we find out about Case Keenum, though I have not seen any terms of the agreement yet, but John Elway and Gary Kubiak can't underestimate the piece that Gary Kubiak is part of this picture, because he coached Case Keenum in Houston, right? So Keenum was was an undrafted free agent with the Texans because he played locally in the city of Houston. And his first year didn't play, but his second year, which was the Matt Schaub year, when it was going horribly wrong for the Houston Texans, they used Keenum in the second half of the year and they lost all eight games. He then gets traded to the Rams the following year, first in St. Louis, where he starts a handful of games, then travels with them, becomes the starter in Los Angeles until Jared Goff is ready. And now, after his 11-3 record with the Minnesota Vikings, gets a big free agent deal, we assume. I guess I shouldn't assume anything, but there aren't very many quarterbacks out there who sign little bitty deals. Nick Foles wouldn't have a little bitty $4 million salary this year if he was a free agent or if he was traded, right? So any quarterback who's got even a modicum of success now stands to make 18, 19, 20 million, upwards of that if he's considered the franchise QB, like a Kirk Cousins will be. Also really interesting to think about what Drew Brees might make with the New Orleans Saints or another team. I mean, if I'm a franchise out there who needs a QB, I say shot in the dark, baby. Let's call his agent. He's not signed with the Saints until he is. We've got a chance. So you're saying there's a chance. The Broncos decided they didn't want to take the chance of swinging and missing with Kirk Cousins, didn't want to waste the time and end up being the team without a chair in this game of musical chairs. It's happened before, right? We know there are going to be teams out there who go for broke for Kirk Cousins and don't get him. Whether it's the Vikings, whether it's the Jets, whether it's the Arizona Cardinals. According to Mike Jarecki of 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, the Cardinals are prepping a monster offer for Kirk Cousins. It was thought that they didn't have enough money to be able to match what the Jets might give him or even what the Vikings would give him. But according to Jarecki, again from Arizona Sports Station's 98.7, the Cardinals plan to offer Cousins a five-year deal worth $145 million. So he would make 29 mil per year. Of course, the highest paid player in NFL history. Wouldn't quite get to the $30 million threshold, but he'd be higher than Jimmy Garoppolo. And then Jarecki goes on to talk about the $20 million signing bonus and a whopping $90 million in guarantees over the first 3 years of the deal. So you're going to have the Cardinals try to go after him. Certainly we know the Vikings and the Jets are going to do the same. Maybe the Bills, that might just be a pie in the sky for Bills fans, but maybe that's the case. So if you're the Broncos, if you're John Elway, if you're Gary Kubiak, who's familiar with Case Keenum, likes his game, has a pre-established relationship with him, he's coming off the best season he's had as a pro, whether you believe it was a fluke or not. If they don't think they can get Kirk Cousins, they also talked about Teddy Bridgewater reportedly. If they don't feel like they could get Kirk and they don't want to waste time, this makes sense for the Broncos. Except it feels like most of you are really negative about it. I'd love to hear why. Why don't you think Keenum could have another season like he did with the Vikings? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Some of you posting on our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're here on CBS Sports Radio inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So that news broke right before we went on the air. And then there was another piece of free agent news. Again, nobody can sign on the dotted line until Wednesday afternoon Eastern time. But former Jags receiver Allen Robinson intends to sign with the Chicago Bears. 3 years, $42 million, unless something happens late. He was a second round pick by the Jags in 2014, but he's coming off the torn ACL. That was really early. It's a season opener, right, for Allen Robinson when he tore that ACL this past year. And so there's two big names. Quarterbacks, of course, are what we're obsessed with, but two big names that seemingly have found home. So what's your reaction? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. In March Madness, the theme of March Madness, we're getting geared up for what's to come on, well, Tuesday night, actually, though you get those games for your bracket. So if you only care about March Madness for the bracket, you don't have to worry about the games that are taking place tonight in Dayton. The first four, just public service announcement, airing on True TV, these first four games. But tonight it's LIU Brooklyn and Radford, and that's a battle between 16 seeds. And then you've got St. Bonaventure and UCLA in the second game from Dayton tonight. Again, you don't have to worry about these for your bracket, but it is the beginning of March Madness. And for the teams that were last four in, that's where they ended up. UCLA and St. Bonaventure's. St. Bonaventure's. I know, it's my last hour. The Bruins and the Bodies were among the last four in, as were Syracuse and Arizona State. They will also play in Dayton coming up on Wednesday. So the first two games of the college basketball tournament tonight. I hope you're jazzed up. If you have not joined the After Hours Bracket Challenge, you can do so finding the tweet pinned to the top of my Twitter page, A-Law Radio. It's also on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And then it's also pinned to the top of our Facebook page. By the way, overwhelmingly, I don't even need to go back and look at the poll. I'm not even sure it's ended yet. It did finally end. But the poll about the new selection show, whether or not the format was a success, 75% of you, a resounding no. I'm going to ask the same question that I asked all day Sunday, asked on our show, asked on Twitter. Who thought that was a good idea? I don't know who did, but I wonder if they're going to change it back. Let's remember this conversation. Potentially it will get changed back. I think it's back on CBS next year, but I could be wrong. I know the Final Four next year is back on CBS. So they're moving it around, all in the family. 855-212-4227. That's where you can reach us via the phones. Brian is listening in Pittsburgh. Brian, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, how you doing? First-time caller, love the show.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to call about the Case Keenum situation and what you asked, why fans are a little down on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's mostly because football fans have tunnel vision and they want to see consistency before they say a quarterback's good.
Okay, so you're more inclined to believe the bad stuff just because you haven't seen a track record of it.
Correct, because you've seen him for so many years be with bad teams, but only 1 year be with a team that had the talent around him to make him show his actual potential.
So how long do you need to see it to believe that it might be real?
Me personally, I only needed to see it last year, but I know as somebody that's been a football coach and with football my whole life, talking to other people, they want to see it for 2, 3, 4 years before they actually believe it.
Okay, so can I ask you a question then?
Yep.
Why do you think people are so quick to anoint Jimmy Garoppolo as the savior in San Francisco, considering he's only had 7 starts?
Unfortunately, I think that comes from being under Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Not that that is the be-all, end-all, but a lot of people think because Bill Belichick anointed him as the new Tom Brady and he endorsed that, people tend to believe that, okay, the greatest coach in a lot of people's minds says that he's a good quarterback. Plus, he's shown that he could do it in the little bit of a time that he's done it, that, of course, they're going to believe that he's going to be a great quarterback.
All right. So I kind of think it's situational. I understand what you're saying. If there is anything ever out there as a negative sample size, people absolutely are more inclined to believe the negative. Where in the case of Garoppolo, even though not all 7 starts have been won specifically by him, right? It's a team sport. So people are, you know, people will look at the quarterback and blame him for what's gone wrong with the team. But then, of course, when a QB goes out there and his team wins, then he gets all the credit. It's just that's what happens when you're a quarterback in college or in the NFL. You get too much of the credit and you absorb far too much of the blame. I think it's interesting that you have some QBs that people are more inclined to believe, yeah, that's going to be the next Tom Brady. But otherwise, if Case Keenum started out poorly, that's all he's ever going to be. There's no way that Keenum could get better, that he could develop, that he could mature. That can't possibly happen. It's interesting.
Correct. Age of entitlement in negative and positive.
Yeah, for sure. I just think sports fans are fickle, Brian, myself. But
I agree with that as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate the support in Pittsburgh.
Have a good day.
I mean, we're so weird as sports fans, how we pick and choose. Absolutely. I hope it works out for San Francisco. It'll be a great story. The Niners are one of those elite franchises, had been for a long time, and they've gone through a terrible stretch because of all of the front office mess and turnover and the peeing contest between Jim Harbaugh and Trent Baalke. And it was a disaster. Poor Jim Tomsula got used as a sacrificial lamb. I mean, the ownership was a disaster, too. So all of that ruined the Niners for a good stretch. So I hope this works out. I like what John Lynch has done. Certainly think Kyle Shanahan waited a long time to be a head coach, and he was ready for this opportunity. And to get your franchise QB and now be able to put pieces around him, it could be the launching point of another great run for the Niners. And I hope it works out, because I think football's better when the Niners are competitive. But it's funny how we pick and choose as fans. Yeah, that guy, he's going to be the next Tom Brady. But that guy, I mean, the 11-3 season, it's probably a fluke. What? I mean, he mostly sucks. It was just because everybody else around him was really good, right? 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. So we'll continue to get to your thoughts on Case Keenum. The news breaking just before we went on the air a few hours ago. The Broncos intend to sign him as their quarterback. We don't know the terms of the deal, how long it is, how much money yet, but we should find that out sometime in the next couple of days. And Allen Robinson plans to sign with the Chicago Bears. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Coming in front, loose in front of Hellebuyck, lost his goal stick. Wilson with a chance. Rebound, he scores! Hundred.
feel great. You know, two big goals, 600, and, you know, history again. And it's kind of nice to be in that company and, you know, do it especially at home in front of fans, wife, friends, and it's pretty amazing.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations to Washington Capitals captain Alex Ovechkin. Amazing call from John Walton on the Caps Radio Network. His 600th career goal. He scores twice Monday night as Washington beat the Jets in overtime 3-2. And I got some cool stats to drop in because there's no doubt Ovi is the player of the week. Brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. And certainly Capitals fans have been watching this guy produce for years and years now. He is the sixth player in NHL history to score 600 career goals with one franchise. So he is Capitals through and through. Only Gordie Howe, Steve Yzerman, Mario Lemieux, Joe Sakic, and Bobby Hull scored 600 goals with one franchise. Nerd alert! And at 32 years old, Ovechkin is the third youngest player in NHL history to reach the same plateau. Only Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux did it sooner. He needed 990 games, which makes him the fourth fastest to reach that 600 goal mark in NHL history. So no doubt, as John Walton says, soon to be Hall of Famer. Let's hope not too soon, but that is accurate. Again, Capitals Radio Network, and then you hear Ovechkin. It was kind of cool to see the highlights and his family and a big group that were cheering for him and to be able to do it at home in front of his fans who adore him. That's the perfect setting for it. And you can see that on the NHL Network. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger, the products and services you need when you need them. Grainger's got your back to help keep your facility running. Grainger for the ones who get it done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. While we're talking hockey, we had an amazing conversation with Monique Lamoureux, who scored the game-tying goal in the third period of the United States and Canada, the gold medal game in Pyeongchang, so women's hockey. It was one of the best moments of the Olympics, to be sure. Monique Lamoureux had the game-tying goal in the third period. They go into sudden death, nobody scores, and then, of course, into the epic shootout where her twin sister, Jocelyn, has the game-winning goal. I finally had a chance to catch up with her. It's been a couple of weeks of going back and forth with USA Hockey to secure a time to talk to Monique. She was very generous. She answered all of my questions, especially after this victory tour they've been on where they've been pulled in a million different directions. The whole conversation will soon be up on our YouTube channel, but I wanted you to hear a snippet of it, the part where I ask her about the third period tying the game against Canada, their nemesis, and then going on into that shootout.
Well, so that Jocelyn won the shootout and then I scored the tying goal. So I was on the bench for the shootout, and people have asked how stressed were you on the bench. And to be honest, my response has been, I can't imagine what our parents were going through sitting in the stands having to watch it. But when I think it was Gigi went and scored, she was on the first, our first shooter, and she went and scored and she fell and still was able to put the puck in the net. And then I think it was Kessel was our fourth shooter, and she was, I think, probably in the most pressured situation of the shootout. Because had she not scored and they did, it was game over. And so she went in, scored, as I've seen her do many times, having played with her in high school and against her in college. And then when it went to the six shooter, so then at that point, after the five, it's sudden death, so it's one for one. And Jocelyn knew that she was getting the nod if it went to the six shooter when Kessel was going. And so when she went in, I knew she was going to pull something a little more fancy than what I would typically do. So it is for her to go in and pull that move off flawlessly when her and I have practiced that move for probably about 6 years with our college coach, Peter Elander. We had different drills we would do around cones, and that just happened to be one of the ones that we had worked tirelessly on and failed at miserably many times. And that in the most pressure moment of her career to pull it off absolutely flawlessly is just, I think it just goes to show the mental toughness and the confidence to go in and do something like that in such a big moment.
So you're not surprised at all that that's the move Jocelyn pulls out in the Olympics?
No, not at all. She actually, in the Russia game, she did there's different ways to do that move, and so she did it in the Russia game and went to her backhand, and so, and then in this game she went to her backhand and then back to her forehand, and at that point when she was on her backhand, she probably could have gone backhand five hole or back to her forehand. She had her choice of where she wanted to put the puck in the net, and so to be able to pull it off that flawlessly is like, you just don't see it. You don't see that often. You're having to squeak pucks by the goalie, and to have that much time and space to put the puck in the net is pretty unbelievable.
Amazing conversation with Monique Lamoureux, and to get her perspective, not only from that shootout and her sister's goal that is epic. It's going to be a moment like 1999, Brandi Chastain winning the World Cup for the women and tearing off her jersey, although Monique did say, of course, Jocelyn wasn't going to tear off her jersey in Pyeongchang. But to get her perspective and to talk to her about what it means to have it be a victory over Canada, also what it means to her to carry this banner for USA women's hockey. I mean, she's been on this team for almost a decade, she and her sister, with a group. There's a core group like Hillary Knight and Gigi Marvin and Amanda Kessel. She talks about some of the veterans, and they've mixed in a bunch of the kids, as she calls them, Maddie Rooney, the goalie being one of them. And we talked about the mix and why this Olympics was different. She talked about the pain of losing the last one to Canada and how devastating it was, but how that made them better as a team. And really need to talk to her too about her family experience there in Pyeongchang and what she wants to do now. And just the spotlight that women's hockey has been in for the last 3 weeks. So it took us several weeks just to catch up with her, to be able to schedule an interview with her, because everywhere they go now, they're superstars. I've seen pictures all over social media. She talked about the pinch me moment being their appearance at the Naval Academy for the stadium series. So the NHL has been honoring these women all over the place, all over the country. And they're there in Annapolis at the Naval Academy. And she said, just incredible, because the stadium broke out in chants of USA and how much that means to cadets and to people who are tied to the Naval Academy, you know, different than what it means to just your average American sports fan. So awesome conversation. We did the pinch me moments and what she's going to do next, and really, really cool for her to give us so much of her time. You don't get that a lot with male pro athletes, because they're so used to the interviews, and they get interview requests every day, every week, every month. And that's just not the case for women's sports and for female athletes. And so I'm glad they're in the spotlight for the time that they are. The entire conversation will be part of our podcast and will be up as soon as the show is over on our YouTube channel. Please tell your friends. It's a cool conversation. All right, A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Join the Bracket Challenge. So far, I haven't had anybody ask me, what's the password, or why can't I get in, or how do I make my picks? Which is good. It either means no one's joining the Bracket Challenge, or in year number four, they figured it out.
It's a little suspicious, but I'm hoping for the best.
Yes, maybe. We'll see. So it's pinned to the top of our Facebook page or my Twitter. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy Twitter Tuesday to you. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shotgun snap. He moves up. He moves up. He throws a long line drive on the near side. Leaping to a catch made. It's made by, oh my goodness, it's going to go in for the touchdown. Grab by Tibbs. He broke a tackle. 61-yard touchdown throw. The Vikings have won. The Minnesota Vikings have won.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Calling it the Minneapolis Miracle, won the division playoff game against the Saints. Man, what a finish that was. Stephon Diggs takes advantage of an overplay, a risk taken by the defender, and boom, down the sideline he goes. Everybody was stunned, but what a moment for fans as well as for Case Keenum and the Minnesota Vikings. And that's how they got to the NFC Championship game, which didn't go quite as well, as you know. That was the springboard for Nick Foles and the Eagles into the Super Bowl. But that was a moment that Case Keenum can put on his resume. Despite the 11-3 mark that the Vikings had when he was starting, despite the career high 67.6% completion rate, the 3,500 yards, the 22 touchdowns versus 7 interceptions, despite the NFC Championship, the Vikings did not slap the franchise tag on Case Keenum because he was not their first choice for franchise QB. It would have cost them $23 million. We knew we weren't going to do that. They didn't want him long term. That is obviously the message they were sending. Didn't want to pay him as the future of their franchise. And certainly were hoping, have been hoping all this time, to have a shot at Kirk Cousins. Everybody knew, going back to the Alex Smith signing in Washington, that Cousins was going to be available. So the Vikings made a series of decisions, and now the Broncos have made theirs. The news breaking late last night, just before we went on the air, that the Broncos intend to sign Case Keenum, though I have not seen terms of the deal. I'm waiting on pins and needles here to find out. With this quarterback market, it's going to change over the next couple of weeks, for sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So what is your reaction to the Broncos offering Keenum this contract? He's coming off his best season. I just gave you the numbers. 11-3 is the Viking starter in a solid system. No steady running back, though, after the first month of the season. They lost Dalvin Cook, so they went back to running back by committee. They did get some strong performances. Latavius Murray turned out to be great toward the second half and the latter part of the season. The offensive line was good for the most part. You got to give Keenum the credit for the rhythm, the flow that he developed and he worked on so hard with those receivers. I mean, Adam Thielen had a career year, too. Kyle Rudolph, Stephon Diggs, of course. I mean, it was a nice surprise to the Vikings. I heard that word a lot. And yeah, they believe they can upgrade and they're going to go all in, if not for Drew Brees, then for Kirk Cousins. But if you're John Elway and Gary Kubiak, who coached Keenum for a couple of years at the start of his career with the Texans, there's already a comfortability there and a pre-established relationship. And if you're Elway and Kubiak and you don't believe that you want to waste your time going after Cousins when you're likely a long shot, you don't want to be the team left without a QB. And that happened to the Broncos a couple years ago. Remember the Mark Sanchez signing? Yeah, that was a product of being the team that was on the outside of that game of musical chairs. So 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money. If you switch to Geico, you can do your car insurance. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too, you can get it all at geico.com. I know that our After Hours QB, our resident After Hours QB, Dan Orlovsky, gets up early, and I just saw this tweet. He said it makes sense. That's his reaction to the Broncos offering Keenum this contract. He says elements are most like what he had in Minnesota last year, playmakers and the play caller and the defense he played with. He says Shurmur and Musgrave, meaning Pat Shurmur, who was the offensive coordinator in Minnesota, now Ted Musgrave, who's the O coordinator in Denver. He says they run similar styles, a good fit for him, and they keep growing Lynch. Dan, by the way, will join us at some point this week as we look at all the different dominoes that will drop in free agency. Happy New Year. All right, 855-212-4227. Kat is listening in Colorado Springs. Kat, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Miss Amy. Longtime listener, first-time caller.
Great. Thanks,
Can't
Kat.
Can't be more thrilled to have Case Keenum.
Good.
I was a fan of his while he was with, when he stepped up for the Texans. If it wasn't 3 o'clock, nearly 4 o'clock in the morning, I would be celebrating with my Peyton Manning 50 Super Bowl Bronco jersey and ordering a Papa John's pizza.
Well, you know, Peyton and Papa John's have parted ways, though. You might have to go with Pizza Hut now.
I heard that from you. But I'd still be celebrating. I couldn't be more thrilled to have Case Keenum.
Can you tell me why?
Bronco. When I saw him with the Texans, I saw young talent. I'm not a super duper sports aficionado as you are, Amy. So, but all the stats that you just mentioned, the connection with Kubiak. Mm-hmm. I just saw young talent when he was playing with the Texans. And then what he did with the Vikings, I watched that NFC playoff play. I taped it, watched it over and over and over. Couldn't be more thrilled to see the progress and what a super quarterback that he became. Yes, he threw an interception, but I see the Broncos coming together as an offense, being able to protect him and give him some more time in that pocket.
Well, let's hope so. That has certainly been an Achilles heel for the Broncos for the last couple of years, has been their offensive line. They've struggled to put together a consistent running game the last two seasons. And even the year they won the Super Bowl, as you referred to, Super Bowl 50, the offensive line, the run game at times still struggled.
And so
since then, it's been something that Elway's wanted to address. And while they did draft an O-lineman in the first round last year, I mean, there were times when he played really well. There are also times when he struggled, as rookies will do. But I think that's still a priority, and they need to be able to run the ball. But I feel like, why not? If you're John Elway and Gary Kubiak, you know this guy, and it's, as we just were talking about through Dan Orlovsky's tweet, it's a similar system. If he's comfortable the way he was last year, then why isn't it possible that he could have the same production?
Yeah, I hate that we lost Akeem Talib, but that fifth round draft pick that we're going to get, I'm hearing that we're looking to strengthen our offense.
All right. Well, we shall see what else happens. A lot of different dominoes are about to drop, Kat.
Oh, gosh.
So you make sure you keep listening, and you can wear your jersey if you want. It's okay. Thank you, Kat.
Okay. Thanks, Amy. Enjoy talking to you.
You too. In Colorado Springs, she's like, if it wasn't almost 4 o'clock in the morning, well, then I'd be wearing my jersey. And I feel like that's the perfect time to wear your jersey. Though, man alive, if I had a pizza at 4 o'clock in the morning, it probably wouldn't last long. That's the time when you're like, whatever, I'll just go crazy. Which is why the jar of peanut butter nearly disappeared in the studio tonight. For the first time ever, I blame Isaac. He planted this idea in my head. He's been walking around here before with a large jar of peanut butter. And I don't exactly know, what do you do with the peanut butter? At least I have an apple with mine, so it's healthy. But what do you do with yours?
Usually eat it.
Just straight out of the jar?
Yeah.
I mean, why didn't I think of that? So yes, I blame Isaac. And last week I had an apple with me, and I was not feeling the apple by itself. So I asked him if he had his peanut butter, and he's like, nope, I didn't bring it. So this time I brought my own. I'm now toting peanut butter with me. I don't know what that makes me. But I need another apple to go with my PB, because it was fantastic. I did not tweet a picture, by the way. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Thanks so much for weighing in with your reactions about Case Keenum. I would say that the majority of the reactions I've gotten to this point have been either flat out negative, no way it's going to happen, or have been hesitant. Matt says on Twitter, Kubiak had a say in this for sure, since he's the QB whisperer. Can't doubt it too much. Price will be the key. If not too much, you get a playoff QB and a good locker room guy. Also, draft a QB to groom seems like a sound plan. That's Matt weighing in on Twitter. Damon says on Twitter, if Keenum was so great, why didn't the Vikings re-sign him? Well, that's a good question, except that certainly you can upgrade. I kind of look at this again through the Kirk Cousins lens. If you believe some of the reports, the speculation out there, and no doubt John Elway has heard a lot of it, has talked to people behind the scenes, if you are in the Broncos front office and you don't believe that you're actually going to be able to make a pitch to Cousins, if he's narrowed it down to the Jets and the Vikings, or maybe the Cardinals, depending on how much money they can throw at him, if you don't feel like you have a shot at him, then you don't want to waste your time, because you'll be left holding the bag and you'll be left with slim pickings. So that part makes sense to me, plus the familiarity with Gary Kubiak and Case. So the Vikings are obviously looking to upgrade. They're looking for someone that can be the face of their franchise moving forward now, long-term deal. Cousins is 27, 28? So he's a couple years younger than Case Keenum. Another tweet from Gordon, confident Keenum can play well for the Broncos. Why not? Jeffrey says, I've seen enough from Case Keenum to expect that he will do well in any reasonable situation. All right, so those are some of the positives. Not all positives, but those are some of the positives. And then I saw on Facebook, Willie said, buyer beware. So that would be a negative about Case Keenum. Yeah, it's funny. We're fickle. Just the idea of fans so thrilled for Jimmy Garoppolo. And yeah, he's worth the money, $27.5 million after seven starts. Now, it's not my money. It's Monopoly money to me, all of it. Even $1 million is Monopoly money to me. And I do not begrudge these guys their money. They have a limited career span. In fact, the lifespan of the average NFL player is not even 4 years. All right, so if you can make that money, you make it. You worked hard to get to this point. The NFL is certainly making a lot of money off you, so you should get your cut. The money is not really the point. It's just that in the quarterback spectrum, $27.5 million average annual salary for a guy who's made seven starts. Now, all seven wins, but seven starts. It's a very limited sample size. But that's the best money the Niners ever spent. That's what I've heard from a lot of people. And you have more of a sample size with Keenum, including the most recent season, which was a career year for him. We don't even know the money yet. And a lot of the same fans are down on him. So we'll see how it plays out. I have no idea. I mean, John Elway told us during the combine that he's had plenty of swings and misses, and he's not done swinging and missing. So some decisions work out, some do not. Oh, side note. I just saw this on Facebook. Tom, we have our first person who's having trouble with the bracket challenge.
We have one on Twitter, too.
Oh, yeah!
It means it's official.
That means it's live. Now you need to pile on with the bracket challenge. And if you missed my conversation with Gonzaga guard Josh Perkins, with Murray State head coach Matt McMahon, with Lipscomb head coach Casey Alexander, they're taking on UNC in the first round of the tournament, their first big dance appearance ever, and also Eric Musselman, who is the head coach of Nevada. They're a 7 seed this year. We've got a lot of our audio up on our YouTube channel, also on our podcast. And for those of you who did not hear, it's a conversation I'm very proud of, my one-on-one with Monique Lamoureux from the Women's Hockey Gold Medal Winning Club in Pyeongchang. It will be live on YouTube very soon. I hope that you'll take the time to listen to it because she was awesome and she was so generous to answer all my questions. Plus, it's USA, USA. All right, we'll talk to you tonight for Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.